"Ain't no way through?" the dwarf asked. "Snow's already waist-deep to an ogre and falling fast," said the scout. "The pass is closed," the lead driver agreed. "I gotta get me to Tentown," said Bruner. The two men just looked at him and shrugged. "You might find a wizard in Luskin to send you," said the scout. "No mount, except one that's flying, will carry you through." The dwarf did well to hide his frustration. It wasn't the fault of these two, after all, and the lead driver had been quite generous in allowing Bruner to sign on after he had fully complimented the caravan guard. But what was Bruner to do? He had no coin, and wizards certainly would not come cheap. "I got nowhere to go," he muttered. "Most'll put up at One-Eyed Jack," said the scout. "What's your captain affiliation?"
"Me what?"
"What ship are you with?"
"He's not of Luskin," the lead driver explained.
The scout nodded. "Well, if you've the coin, I'd suggest One-Eyed Jack's. Only safe in Luskin for one who's not of Luskin, and you might find an affiliation. Ship Kurth's the strongest of the lot, but the most demanding. And they might not let you go so easily in the spring."
Bruner waved his hand wildly, silencing the man. He had no intention of gaining any affiliation with one of the high captains of Luskin, and indeed, after viewing the city on his quick pass through there, had no intention of going back into the place. He looked to the east instead, to the scattered cottages and farmhouses, some inhabited but many in ruins.
"One might put you up," the lead driver said, following his gaze and reading his thoughts.
The dwarf hardly heard him, lost in thought. He knew that the pass would be closed through the rest of the year and into early 1484. Winter came early north of the spine of the world, and when it set its grip, there was no way to press through. The dwarf considered abandoning his present road. Mirabar wasn't so far. He could likely get there before the snows settled deep down here south of the mountains. He mused that he could reveal himself to the leaders of that city, and perhaps they would offer him magical assistance into Icewind Dale. He shook his head. He wasn't ready to reveal himself. He knew his place now as a companion of the Hall and not as the king of Mithril Hall, and he wasn't about to complicate, perhaps even compromise, the mission he had embarked upon when he had left Eruladun by bringing such notice to himself. But the spring equinox was less than 6 months away, and the passes were closed. They would remain so through the rest of the year, of course, and into the next. Travel in Icewind Dale in the first month of Hammer was always impossible, and so, too, for the first half of Alturiac at least, sometimes even to the third month, Chess. No caravans would head that way, at least until the end of the fourth month, long past Bruner's appointed rendezvous. But the snows would lessen in Alturiac, Bruner thought, nodding. It was a treacherous time to be out and about in the dale, of course, with mud pits deeper than a hill giant, and water half-frozen or full-frozen. You wouldn't know until you tried to venture across. And while the trail might seem clear on a bright morning, late winter storms often blew through with little warning and sometimes dropped several feet of snow. The dwarf shook his head and spat on the ground, then stomped off for the farmhouses to see if he could find lodging for the winter. Regis pushed through the door with an armload of kindling, dropping the wood by the hearth and rushing back to secure the door against the blowing snow. Winter had come on in typical fury, and just getting to his woodshed and back had exhausted the halfling. He turned back for the hearth, tossing his cloak aside, and nearly jumped out of his boots when he noticed the tall figure standing in the doorway to the kitchen.
"I've started a fine broth for you," Catti Bree explained, "to warm your bones." "When did you return? How did you return?"
Regis exclaimed in response. The woman had left him just a few days before the storm on her way to Bryn Shander.
"The goddess protects me," Catti Bree said with a wink.
"Good. Then you go get the wood from now on," Regis replied.
"I can cast a spell to keep the cold from your bones," Catti Bree promised.
"Too late."
The woman matched Regis's wide smile, but hers could not hold.
"What word?"
Regis asked, for she had gone out scouting.
No word, she replied. Drizzt has not been seen, and his name is spoken without affection.
That demon incident,
Regis remarked, for Catti Bree had told him the tale of the battle at Bryn Shander's western gate. Apparently Drizzt and some companions had passed through the town and headed out to the east, not to be seen again. Soon after, a great demon had arrived at Bryn Shander, seeking Drizzt, had attacked the town, and only the heroics of another drow, Tiago by name, and his band of warriors and wizards, and a few half-drow, half-spider creatures had saved the day. The story was jumbled, for the incidents had occurred many years before, when Regis was just a toddler in Ivor Breen's lean-to. Ten Towns was a place where people came and went, and where more died than were born. And so few even remembered the fight at Bryn Shander's gate, even with the plaque set out on the spot where the great demon had been destroyed. As far as Catti Bree and Regis could guess, it had to have been Bregan de Aerth following the monster to Bryn Shander, and in that line of thought, Regis wondered if he had done right in not revealing himself to Jarlaxle back in Luskan. Perhaps he and Catti Bree, and Brunner, if the dwarf ever arrived, would travel back that way and find Jarlaxle, hoping to learn the whereabouts of Drizzt.
"Well then, what do we do? Was it all for naught?"
As he asked the question, Regis was already formulating his own answer. If Drizzt wasn't to be found, then he would bid Catti Bree to return with him to Aglarond, to Donala Paracolo, where she could help Marotta Topolino battle the Lich, if there remained a Lich to battle. And no, he told himself then, resolutely so. It had not been all for naught, far from it. He, Spider Topolino, would forge a second life whatever fate brought before him, a life shaped in the lessons of the first.
"Hold faith," Catti Bree told him. "Mialiki told us when to meet, and that day fast approaches."
"Brunner has not arrived, but Winter has,"
Regis reminded.
"Your dam may well be dead again, gone to Dwarfholm and his rewards."
The woman nodded, nothing in her posture or expression denying a word of what he said.
"We do the best we can, in the hope that our work will aid Mialiki and our friend," she replied.
"If Drizzt is even still alive," Regis mumbled,
but he also nodded his agreement. He would climb Kelvin's cairn beside her on the night of the equinox. He feared that they too would end up there alone, however, and from that realization, Regis came to wonder if perhaps Lady Lolth had already taken Drizzt. Was there